Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop with Wichita State University Strategic Communications. I'm joined by Wichita State softball pitching coach Ryan Stefankiewicz, and we're going to talk about the Shockers as they head into the American Athletic Conference Tournament starting Thursday in Houston. Let's get you up to date on the Shockers. They are 31-24. They're the fourth seed in the tournament after going 12-9 in the American. They play fifth seed at Central Florida on Thursday. The winner of that game gets either USF or Memphis on Friday. Single elimination tournament. I don't know how many softball conferences have gone to single versus double. What are your thoughts on that? It's kind of a, you're talking about a real sudden end and not much room for error there.
Yeah. The major conferences prefer the single end because, you know, they're getting 8, 9, 10 teams into the tournament anyway. So for them, there's no point in putting that workload on their pitchers and whatnot this time of year. Being in the Valley and now the American, I don't really mind either way. If you're going to go to a double elim, I would assume you'd have to reduce the number of teams that get in, because to do 8 teams double elim, you could end up playing 5-6 games if you lose that first game in 3 or 4 days, and that's not something you're looking to do, you know, 5 days before potentially going to the NCAA tournament either. So there's a fine line of, do you want to make it truer and make it double limb and then reduce the number of teams, or do you want to let everybody in and keep it a single limb?
Definitely from an efficiency standpoint, I get that. The Shockers last 2 weekends, I think, have been very, very encouraging. When you talk to the Shockers over the weekend, they were in good moods. They were positive, optimistic. Last weekend went 1-2 against Tulsa, the second place team in the conference, 2 close defeats. And then won 2 out of 3 against first place USF and really played well. Run ruled them on Saturday. How much of those 2 weekends kind of shaped the team's thinking, and I don't know if you believe in momentum going into this tournament or not, but what have the 2 weekends kind of provided for this team?
I think it's proved that we can not just compete with, but beat the top 2 teams in the conference. You know, Tulsa and USF are 2-1, and, you know, we were within a run of taking 2 out of 3 from Tulsa, and we took 2 out of 3 from USF. So it gives us some confidence. I think we're a tough team right now to play. We're hitting really well, where we've played great defense all year, and we're pitching pretty well in the circle right now too.
Yeah, the defense was really spectacular at times over the weekend. I want to get back to that. Okay, if we go back to the Connecticut series, the Shockers lost 2 of 3 at UConn. You were 2-4 in the American Athletic Conference. Things turned around after that. You went 10-5 in the American after that. Anything in particular changed? Anything you can point to?
I think we kind of figured out, you know, we suffered some injuries and we got down to a small number of, you know, 14, 15, 16 girls. And Coach B had a talk with them about, hey, we're going to need all of you to make this happen. And I think once we bought into all 14 or 15 girls that were available, we're going to play a role, we got going, and that's where we're at now. And I don't think a ton of teams want to play us right now with the way we're hitting and pitching and playing defense.
Yeah, the contributions of the freshmen have been really striking. Lauren Mills had a big weekend. Addie Reese has played well, moved to the outfield. Sydney McKinney has played well all season, but moved from third to second. With some of them, is there a change that they have to go through from, you know, maybe in February they saw themselves playing a small role. Now all of a sudden in April and May they're playing a big role. Do they kind of have to come to that awakening?
Well, and it's some of them, like McKinney got thrown in right away, but then Addie kind of got thrown in the last part of the season, and she's done great, you know, and it'll benefit her going forward, especially, you know, I don't know how many at bats she's got this year, almost probably 100 or so, and that's going to be huge for her going forward. She's got 100 at bats as a freshman that maybe she wouldn't have gotten, and she came in thinking she's going to be an infielder, and now she's in the outfield, and so she can now play 2 spots for us. Sid's played 3rd and 2nd. So not just do they get experience, but they've got experience at multiple positions that will make us more versatile going forward.
You mentioned the defensive positions, the switches around, and the defense was really, really fun to watch over the weekend. We saw Riley Buck, Lori Derrico just made some spectacular plays. The outfielders just seemed to run down everything. Bailey Nickerson had the multi-hop throw out at the plate. How much has that defense helped the pitching staff?
You know, as a pitcher, when you know they're going to make plays behind you, you're not afraid to let teams hit it, and that's the best way to pitch. Let them hit it, and then let your defense take care of it. When you pitch to not get hit is when you get in trouble, and I think our pitchers now can pitch pretty fearlessly knowing we've got a solid defense behind us, and that's what you're seeing is Aaron and Bingham and Martinez, they throw it, let them hit it, and we've been taking care of it.
Could you tell, I know defense was a big emphasis in the fall. Christy talked about that going back to the fall. Could you tell then that it was improving?
I don't know that you could tell, but as we got into games, we were making the routine plays and the spectacular plays. And I think defense is one of those things that feeds on itself. Once somebody makes a great play, somebody else makes a great play. I mean, you saw it this weekend. LA makes a throw from her knees and deep in the 5-6 hole, and then an inning and a half later, Bailey Nickerson dives for a ball down the line in foul territory. It's like we're almost always one-upping each other, and that's the way you want to one-up each other. It's like, hey, here's your spectacular play. Now I'm going to make a better one, and it's been awesome to see.
After Sunday's game, when I talked to a few of the Shockers, a couple of them mentioned they thought that maybe they had taken on defense as one of the main components of their identity. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and it was an emphasis. I mean, we've spent more time on defense this year probably than we ever have, and we're seeing the results of that. And I think our team identifies as a defensive unit, which, you know, all the great teams, when you look back at them, I mean, look at OU, every year they lead, they're in the top 10 in the country in defense, and look at where they're at every year. So I think that's a staple of a great program is when you're great on defense. And it helps your pitching staff so much. It allows you so much more margin for error.
Shocker is one of those top 10 teams in defensive fielding percentage this year in the NCAA. You mentioned Erin McDonald, and she has pitched really well lately. She's taken over the role as Wichita State's ace. She shut out Tulsa, threw 15 innings against South Florida and gave up one earned run. This is her first season at Wichita State. She transferred from Louisiana Tech. Take us through her progress.
Well, when she came in last year, I think she threw less than 20 innings total at La Tech. So coming in, she didn't have a ton of in-game experience. And that's something, as a coach, the only way they get that is by pitching in games. You know, you can pitch in scrimmages and in bullpens all you want. But until you're out there with the other team game planning against you, it's different. And she's had that this year and a lot of it. And I think in the last month or so, she's figured out what teams are doing to her. We had a talk the other day out in the circle, and she, before I could even talk, she told me what they were trying to do to her. And I was like, yeah, you've got that figured out. And early in the year, she'd have never seen that. But now I think she sees what teams are trying to, like their approach to her, and she knows how to counter that. And that's why she's having more success now.
How much of it with her was a mental thing, a confidence thing, after not throwing much at Louisiana Tech, and then coming in here, and her role changed pretty dramatically after Bailey Lang's injury?
Yeah. I mean, she's got confidence, and she got, like I said, the biggest thing is experience. And once she got that, you're going to be more confident once you have the experience. And she's had some struggles this year, where she's struggled with confidence and not trusting in all of her pitches, and we work through it, and we throw those pitches and counts in the game where we don't think they're going to hurt us, so that way we can have success with them. Where we set up so we can only have success with those pitches, and then we can slowly work those pitches back into crucial situations in the game. So, you know, for her, it's been a learning curve, and she's learned quite a bit in the last month, and it's showing.
It's been fascinating, interesting watching Caitlin Bingham this season. She got off to a great start, then really had some control problems, and then it seems like she's been really good at some times, and then other times she's kind of slipped back a bit. It's been interesting to watch the games because the coaching that goes on, and I've really been struck by the amount of support she gets from her teammates when she's out there. It just feels like this is a collective effort that we're going to do whatever we can to get Caitlin, you know, keep her on the right track, get her back on the right track, just be really supportive. What's it been like coaching that kind of a performance where it's, I guess, unpredictable?
The unpredictability part's the hardest part. You know, when Kate throws strikes, she's as good as there is. I mean, she's as good as we have. So it's just trying to get her in a good place mentally to fill up the strike zone. When she does that, she's hard to hit. And when she doesn't, the nice thing is the way she throws, being a down ball kid, she gets herself out of jams. You know, she can walk to and then get a ground ball, and suddenly she's got two outs and one on, you know. So she's conducive to getting herself out of jams when she pitches to contact. And that's been her biggest thing, is she's got to be comfortable pitching to contact. And as she gets older, she's gotten more and more comfortable with that. That's a hard thing, I think, for kids to, when they come out of travel ball and high school ball, where you can throw it by kids and you don't give up a ton of hits. Letting these hitters hit it, you know, put it in a spot where they're going to hit it, not hard. And she's gotten better at that. And when she does that, she gets herself out of pickles pretty easily with a ground ball, you know. And especially with our great defense, we've turned, I'm not sure how many double plays this year, but if we get a ground ball, the odds of us turning double play are pretty good. And she knows that. So she knows, okay, I walked the leadoff kid. All I got to do is get a ground ball, and I'm one pitch out. I'm one pitch away from having two outs. And that's the reassuring part for her.
She appears to be pretty resilient. How has she kind of handled these ups and downs?
Good, and she knows. I mean, she knows that we're going to let her struggle through some games, and other games we've told her, hey, it's going to be a shorter leash today. So, and she knows that going into the game. And when she's got the longer leash, we kind of let her struggle through it if she's struggling, and if she's not, it's like, let's keep going, you know. But she's handled it well.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. You mentioned the injuries. We talked about losing Bailey Lang early in the season, Asia Weber, Kaylee Hecker. I'm interested from a coaching standpoint at how has the staff addressed that? At any point, do you kind of gather them together and say, you know, we know this is happening. It's time for everybody to kind of band together, step up, or does it just, this is kind of this is what happens in sports. Injuries are a part of it, and let's just keep doing what we do.
I think it's a mix of both. I mean, it's part of sports, but I know a couple weeks ago, Coach B had a little chat with the team out in the outfield of, hey, we've got these 14 girls left. I mean, these are the 14 that are healthy and that can play, so accept your role, be as best as you can at your role, and if you do that, we're going to be good. We're going to go a long ways. And I think we've finally gotten to that spot where people have accepted their roles, know their role is important, and are doing the best they can to be good at that role. And that's where I think you're seeing the results of that on the field.
And I guess that kind of talk takes it away from them using injuries as an excuse. Would that be one of the coaching points you would want to make?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I mean, it happens to everybody. Everybody's got injuries. It's unfortunate, but it's part of sports. So you don't ever want to use an excuse, but it's part of the deal, and you got to step up and be ready. And the great teams are the number two and number three person are ready to step up when the one goes down or when the two goes down. And I think you're seeing us stepping up and performing in some of those roles.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of players, as we talked about, have done those kind of things. Wichita State's through its second season in the American Athletic Conference. Any impressions, anything change over the course of 2 years, what you thought the conference is about and what it takes to compete in the American?
It's hard. It's tough. It's deep, you know. There's six or seven teams in this conference that can beat you any day. And they have depth in the circle, you know. I think this conference has a little more pitching depth than the Valley had. Most teams have that one stud that you're gonna have to deal with Friday and Sunday. Like I said, you get 5, 6, 7 teams deep where they've got a stud, they've got an ace pitcher that you've got to beat not once but twice in a weekend. And the 3 games in 3 days is different than what we were playing in the Valley. In the Valley, we were doing doubleheaders on Saturday and single on Sunday. And so you can have a different approach with a single game than you can with a doubleheader. You know, with a doubleheader, you've got to save back some of your arms for that second game because you've got to play 14 innings that day. But just 7 innings, you may be willing to go to your ace for the last 2 on a Saturday to get the save, you know. I mean, where in the Valley, you're not as apt to do that because you know, all right, I still got 7 more innings later on today that I got to get these hitters out. But it's tough. I mean, Last year, the conference, I think, got four teams in. This year, it looks like three might get an at-large berth, and depending on what happens at the conference tournament, we could get four teams in again. So you know you're not quite a mid-major anymore when you're getting three and four teams into the tournament every year.
Everyone was curious about the travel. Did you change anything from the first year to the second year? How's that part of this story gone?
Well, it flipped, so we've not gone back to any cities again yet. So next year, I think, is when we'll start to make the adjustments of, okay, this is what we did our first time at that city, and we liked doing this, we liked eating at that place, we liked this hotel, or we didn't like where our hotel was in this city, so we're gonna find a different place. But for the most part, the travel's been pretty good. We fly everywhere but Memphis and Tulsa. We did bus to Houston this year, and we're busing home from the conference tournament, but that part's a big difference, that we fly everywhere. But other than that, you know, travel's travel.
Travel's travel. All right, Ryan, thank you very much for your time. Shockers getting ready to take off for the American Athletic Conference Tournament. They'll open up Thursday against Central Florida. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast. Thank you for listening.